nice to be here today. I just want to say thank you. I'm blessed to be here. My name's Chris, and the worship today, Bluegrass Gospel, I've heard about it from Rob for a number of years now, and it's just sweet to be able to be here and to hear it. And the space is just so beautiful, and I was just observing the art on the windows here, and considering as well some of this message that I've had the chance to prepare today, and it has to do with creation, you know, and the poetry that was read. I brought a painting here, and some of you may have seen this painting before. It's by an artist named Rembrandt. For those of you who have never seen this painting before, do you know what story is being depicted here? Yeah, right on. Somebody said the prodigal son. Hey, I think I just mentioned that earlier to you. Right on. Awesome. Now, I brought it, you know, I'm not even going to be talking about it. But the love that's depicted here is the kind of love that I'll be trying to get at through this message. So as I share, maybe consider the love that's being shown by the Father to the Son as he's come home. When eyes and lives open to the love of God, it's kind of like waking up and seeing someone there, right there, who loves you. And waking you up, and it's not a dream, but more real than anything you've ever known before. This love, and it's remembering that really they were there with you yesterday before you closed your eyes to sleep through the night. And it's knowing that they were even there with you throughout the night. It's a revelation of love like that. The love of God that has been and is and ever will be with us. That the love of God, the Creator, who put all things together perfectly and wonderfully, that this love is real and open and present to us. This love that looks out and sees all the beauty of it, from the most minute structures, even more minute than ones we've even found yet, to the most pristine processes, even ones that we haven't found yet. From the mountains on planets and solar systems way far away to the hills on ours and all the life. And this love looks out on all this and says, it is well. It's not pride that speaks out in this. Like, it's good stuff, you know. Like when my daughter jokingly agrees with me that she's such a good kid, or like some artist or dentist may take pride in their work, hitting the proverbial nail on the head of a project. The "it is good" of God in view of all creation is all about love. God is love, exclaimed John, who was a student of Jesus. And perhaps is really tight friend of Jesus's too. Learned a lot from him, but they were tight. And he was perhaps an authority of the subject of love. After all, he was there at the cross when his best friend died. It is the cross and the love of this person, Jesus, that stunned me awake like an alarm in the morning many years ago now. I found in him love that was with me before I fell asleep, that waited for me while I slept, and welcomed me at my waking. here's some thoughts. Some of my thoughts when I first heard about Jesus that still throw me for a loop when I consider them today. Someone I didn't even know died for me. I was like 4 years old thinking these thoughts to begin with. What? Because he loved me? Who is this guy? Why would he die for me? It was for love? Why would people want to kill him? Didn't he heal people and love people? Let's pray real quick. God, thank you for your love. Love that inspires, that creates and keeps on creating. Thank you for creating us, in us new hearts, inspired as well to create and lighten life. Help us to keep heart and be relentless, bringing hope into this world with the, even as Jesus did, unaffected by apathy, resolute in compassion, in solidarity with the action of your love. And your love seeks out the lonely, the sick, alienated, marginalized, broken, and hopeless. And your love is lifting. Lead us in your love, God, that those broken may be restored with hope. Amen. The love that is good, like better than good, that kind of good. There I was, 17 years old, in a nervous but unflinching, sitting at a dinner table at the J.J. Morgan's, I'm not sure if it's there still, just off Mackenzie Avenue. My friends then would have seen me as wild and adventurous in those days, perhaps even now and then to the point of concern. I've always been open with my heart and caring, but for a bit there I lost it. Lost myself a little in the midst of trying to fit into a social scene that I wasn't made for. Maybe we go through these uncomfortable, confusing moments in our lives to further learn the way, the life each of us are meant for. Looking back, it wasn't necessarily about the struggle, but the learning, the revelation. Truly looking back, I can clearly see that there's love involved in all of it. You know, the scripture that God works all things together for good, who love him and are called according to his purpose. Anyways, here I was, 17, and showing a toughness that wasn't me, lost and quiet about it, altogether insecure. And on the other side of the table, facing me, was a hulk of a man in his late 40s, 6'5" and weighing in the upper 200s for sure. His name was Rick LaPointe. If you know the NHL of the 70s and 80s, you may have heard of him. He just sat there and stared at me for a minute. My dad had met him earlier that week. I guess they had a good conversation about a kid, me, who was on tougher times and making poor choices, and Rick offered to come and share a meal with me. So there was Big Rick just staring at me. Then, still without a word, he grinned at me, and I saw a twinkle in his eye. Obviously, I will never forget this moment. And he opened his mouth, finally, breaking such an awkward silence. "You know," he said, "you're good looking." Jeez. I started blushing. And the awkward meter shot through the roof. I couldn't look him in the eye, and I was trying so hard not to smile, as if smiling would affirm with him that he had just said to me. And I imagine he started fights in the NHL saying stuff like that to his opponents. He carried on along the same uncomfortable line. "You're good looking," he said. Then he questioned me. "Do you know you're good looking?" Seriously, I wanted out. Out of the conversation. Out of the building. I wasn't quick enough to know how to change the subject. I was stuck. I stuttered, like I still do at times if I'm nervous or tired. It was a funny thing with stuttering for me. It kept me both quiet and humble. I couldn't really get mad or fight back with words, because as soon as my emotions were heightened, I just couldn't get the words out. It was a fight for me to muster the energy to respond to Rick. "What?" I finally responded sheepishly to him with a bit of a grimace. "I'm not good looking." Then he looked at me square with truth and love gleaming and said, "Oh yes you are, Chris. God made you in his image. And over all that God made, he looked out and proclaimed its goodness." I didn't know what to say. I had just encountered a vast love. I was so closed up and self-conscious. God's love is everywhere, all the time, in us and all around, as we know and we see. And sometimes all we need is a simple, honest smile and a loving word, and we wake up, and the sun shines in. May this be for us today, to receive such love and to offer it well. I was bruised reed. I was a smoldering wick. Rick brought the life back to my life that day. Even if it was just for that day, the memory of it is with me. Every time I look back, I remember God's big love for me all over again. We've all been there. Broken, confused, alone, without hope. And God figures out a way to come and save us. Sometimes we miss it. Maybe it happens more than we're aware of. Nowadays, when it dawns on me that God has come near and lifted me up out of a pit, I'm drawn to thankfulness. How could we not be? Being in a dark place really sucks. It's better to live in love than apart from it. So what does love look like? I asked my mom to give me a time check, so I'm not too sure. 5 minutes? I've been speaking for 5 minutes? Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, thanks. So we all know. My dad always says, we're different but the same. I've learned a lot from my dad over the years. Hey, Rachel. Good to see you. I've learned a lot from him over the years with regards to love. Recently, we've been talking about grace and the part that grace plays in love and vice versa. Two things in particular stand out to me in the way my dad expresses love. The first is by hospitality, and the second is by inclusion. The hospitality that I've observed in both my parents throughout my life and their care, even for strangers, certainly has informed the ministry and service I'm involved in at the Mustard Seed. Right now, I just want to focus on this all-inclusive aspect of love that I've witnessed in practice by my dad over the years. It's for everyone, and it's genuine. I see that happening in him as he engages with people. Sure, my dad knows who's who in the zoo and carries opinions of people like we all can do. Still, he shows even those who've hurt him, that I've seen, or ones closest to him, the most genuine of love. The only thing that matters to him in the moment seems to be life and embracing it. And that's what he does. He hugs. My dad normally swipes handshakes away and says, "Come here." and he'll pull you in for a hug. And it's not a bad thing, even if you don't like hugs. It never is, unless it is, and he's certainly aware enough to know. It must be in his smile or in his eyes. Something ancient in the chemistry that breaks down certain defenses. We can miss so much of love by fear. At times we fear, the fear of germs can get in the way. Or fear of what, fear of other things. We have all these love-hindering fears to work through. A quick prayer for mercy in an anxious moment, where love is hanging there. A quick prayer helps me. And then in my coming to or waking up from that fear, that night of fear, I realize that there's no fear in true love. Along with the loving posture of inclusion comes the opportunity to be included as well. Don't get me wrong, the posture of inclusion is more than a hug. Simply, it's a loving way of being. The only way to miss this love when it's right there is to refuse it. This regressive movement of denying inclusion is exclusion. Pretty much black and white stuff. Which leads me into offering this question, that if we ask it of ourselves at just the right time, every day, we can stay on track with inclusion. The question is, what does love look like? A revolution of love would begin if we operated our lives together out of this question. I'm talking about turning the world upside down and big daddy mega hug stuff. What does love look like? In my response to the person I just saw step on a bug and laugh about it with his or her friends, or to the person I saw sneak on the bus without paying. There's not a uniform answer to this question in any given situation. The answer and action will always be unique and personal for each of us as we ask it of ourselves. What does love look like? What does love look like when I hear my son or daughter is being bullied at school? Or when I find out that my son or daughter is the bully? What does love look like when standing up for someone who's being treated unjustly is unpopular and will mean ourselves being marginalized or stereotyped as well? What does love look like? Another way of saying that could be, what would Jesus do? Because that's all about love too. But what does love look like in bringing that question before God, coming close to our center and meeting him there? What does love look like, God? When we choose to operate and respond more and more by love, and the big-hearted consideration of what love looks like in any given situation we face on any given day, we are being revolutionary in our living, and there's only increasing integrity to our witnesses. To our witness as followers of Jesus Christ. Okay. Towards the beginning of last week, I'm just going to talk about the rest of love, and thank you again for having me here. Towards the beginning of last week, I came across a man that I've known for a number of years. He was walking slowly on his own, as he usually is. Up the street toward the mustard seed, he was hunched over and limping. And the look on his face was desperate as ever. And shivering guilt and shame was in this, the, his, his slouching. He comes expecting exclusion. As he approaches, I wonder if he is coming to be received or coming to be rejected. As he approaches, I find myself measuring his attitude and the way he looks at me, the words he says to find whether or not he is going to receive or reject me in his coming. Normally, I encounter anger with this man. This time I encountered sadness. Sadness for the desperation of days in wet clothes and cold and nowhere to go for help for exclusion. Excluded from most places, for creating upsetting and unsettling environments as a result of misbehavior. And, you know, despite being of this nature walking towards me, I found myself wanting so much to find a glimmer of hope within him that is coming to be received, coming to be included. At the mustard seed, the hope is with people who know how we operate, that certainly we have a firm stance for safety and security for all who access our services. But people come also knowing who we follow. That we follow the one who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." From the dreary curbside there on Queens Avenue, he looked up to me and said, "I need help." The opportunity for love and life are in those three words. And these are written on each of us often, even if they're not spoken. So we caught up a bit and I learned of what he was having to endure before we moved the conversation inside. I think he was surprised at our welcome. He was brought to tears and iterated what a difference the mustard seed is and has made in his life. Love always hopes. And this hope is for what is yet to come. And this may have been a waking up point for my friend that day, just a couple days ago. I really want to close with the cross. Is that cool? What did the love of Jesus look like for those guys who hated him and sought to destroy him? The cross of Christ is the most immense challenge ever faced. He knew it was coming and sweated blood. The poise and grace of God was with him the whole way there. When he was kissed by a rat, one of his friends who turned traitor against him for a few bucks. Such grace. And I say rat because that's a street term for people who turn someone in. As he was arrested and stopped, and he stopped what could have been a violent moment in which many of his friends could have been killed. So cool. He even healed one of the soldiers who was hurt in the short fight. When his closest bud denied his friendship with him over and over and over again, grace. And he was quiet in court with his accusers. He was beaten, slaughtered as the prophecies in Isaiah tell, scourged with ambition, enduring grace with Jesus. He welcomed the cross. He welcomed the cross he was given to carry on his broken body to the place where he'd be lifted up. With grace, he gave up for the help of a bystander. I need help. To carry the cross with him. What love of God is this? Nailed to the cross and hung. Few words came from his lips as he hung there. All of them full of grace and truth as his life was. What does love look like in this moment? The love of God reverberates over time and space in hope and reconciliation for a world that can be so destructive at times. And there's these words. And the immensity of these words is extraordinary, unfathomable. In this moment, Father, Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. This love is original, untamable, and archaic. This love can't be killed, and it rises and keeps rising in each one of us. This love is waiting for all who will wake up and welcome it. This love has always been and always will be. And this benediction to consider quickly as a hug from my dad. When you forgive, you love. When you love, God's light shines on you. Thank you. Thanks, Rob.
Let's just take a moment in silence to